Hello and welcome to Swiftly Spoken, a fan-made Taylor Swift podcast in which we break down her lyrics, deep dive into full album retrospectives, and theorise about what may be coming next. As always, we are your hosts, Cameron and Lisa, and in this episode, we're going to be compiling a playlist of 13 songs that we think should be essential listening before the Tortured Poets Department comes out in under a month's time. So to kind of start the episode, if you've been a long time listener, you might potentially remember a previous episode that we did where basically before the release of Midnights, we looked at essential songs that we think that people should listen to before they then explore Midnights or just Taylor's general discography. And basically we're kind of basing this episode off of that episode, but that episode itself was based off and inspired by an article that was written for the Conscience of Sound. It was part of their 10 song series where they provide like a list of 10 songs from popular artists catalogs and that kind of act as like a doorway into the artist's vast discographies. And we kind of looked at that list, analyzed it, and then provided our own. And our list, well, my one kind of explored like Taylor's countryside of her music and looking at Taylor's country kind of sensibilities and sound and songwriting throughout her career. And Lisa's was kind of showing off like Taylor's songwriting skills and ability again throughout her career. But this one is slightly different. And what we're going to be doing is recommend 13 songs that we think hint towards the stories that will be told on the Tortured Poets Department, as well as the themes of the album or just the general vibes. This is kind of like a preview of what we believe is potentially coming sonically, thematically, and kind of lyrics potentially, or previous references that Taylor might make to previous songs or stories that she's told throughout her music.
Yeah, it'd be like a recap of everything you need to know in her discography before you delve into this new album, very much related to what we think is going to be presented to us, which, you know, we could be way off base, but these are our 13 predictions anyway.
Definitely. And kind of just jumping back quickly, if you are interested in listening to the episode that we made before Midnights came out and you want to kind of hear our selection of songs, then make sure to check out that episode. We'll link it on the screen now.
So I guess now we can get into the specifics of the 13 songs that we have chosen together. We basically compiled two lists and then chose the ones that we both included, which they were a few that we knew were staples on this list, and then went through most of Taylor's discography to kind of get our head around what we think would be a good representation of what we think we're going to see, basically. Firstly, I think as a disclaimer, we should mention that in the end, we haven't really included very much, if anything, from her first, shall we say, five albums. We've based a lot of this on what we think is going to be told to us story-wise, narrative, songwritery-wise, and parallels for lyrics, right? And from the country era, from 1989, I don't think there's going to be much to parallel with, although we have got like one or two in there that we will explain why we have added. Then from Reputation onwards, we have added about two, at least from every album, just because it makes sense, right? Lyrically,
yes.
Thematically, that's what we kind of want to explore in this list. In no particular order, the first one that we both included, so we knew it had to be here, is Delicate. I think Delicate is an extremely interesting song to listen to because I think there's a few of these songs on this list that I'm going to say this with, but it's going to give a bit of whiplash, really, isn't it?
Yeah, the kind of promise, you know, and the hopes and also fears were either shattered or kind of did come true. And we're kind of going to, it's almost like this is the start of the circle and potentially some of the stuff that's explored on Tortured Poets will kind of round off the circle and finish it off, and we'll kind of, you know, tie the story together, basically, and finish it off, really, which is quite sad. But I do think that what's interesting with Delicate, though, is that even though obviously it's coming from maybe a more positive time, there is also still a sense of, like, uncertainty and, like, is it cool that I said that? Like, you know, do the girls back home touch you? Like, I, you know, there is still this fear of, like, how is it going to be? Like, is this going to work?
Yes,
definitely. It's, like, anxiety is, like, almost, like, the core theme throughout that whole song. And it's, you know, at a time when her relationship, reputation was kind of obviously on the back foot. She was very much in a very vulnerable situation. And also, so not only does it kind of explore the potential fears that might have come true, but also it is naturally kind of chapter one of the story, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's why it deserves a place on this list. Also, it's just a very, very good song. It's just extremely visual in the sense that you can hear it's someone who is extremely scared of everything, but also hopeful very hopeful as well. So yes. That's why I think maybe a little bit of whiplash with this song, perhaps.
Definitely. And I think also with Delicate as well, it kind of starts off the theme of blue. Like,
oh, interesting. Blue that's is something true. That
it's like a colour.
Very important
that Taylor,
colour. Mm.
Yeah, regularly references when is singing about that time in her life. So I think that's also interesting. And I'm not sure if potentially that might be something that the colour might either change or it might have a sadder tone of blue. I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but that colour was first mentioned there and kind of across Reputation, but also took centre stage really in
The
Love
there's going to be there's going to be a few of the songs on this list that we can kind of pick out that reference to blue, and if not those songs, very very similar songs or ones that we may have added but we didn't choose to in the end. For example, Cruel Summer, it was another candidate to be in on this list, to be honest with you, and it is very similar to Delicate in lots of ways, as it is a confession of a lot of anxiety. Like, is it cool that I said all that, and ain't that the worst thing you ever heard? It's just, is it similar? Like, oh, sorry I like you, which is an interesting way to start off this theme really, if you think about it. Delving deeper into that, I think this next choice is a very heavy one as well, and this one is one that I could only hope personally that perhaps sonically as well it could make a little bit of an appearance. But judging that we kind of know that the Tortured Poets Department is going to be pop, and we kind of know that Jack Antonoff is going to be a big part of it, I'm not sure how much he's going to lean into more of this indie kind of sound,
folky sound.
It's very difficult to tell, but anyway, Peace is next on our list, and right off the bat, When Your Cascade Ocean Wave Blues come.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Yes, here's another blue mention.
So as for Peace, I think it's an important one on the list, just because again it's a big question she's asking in Peace, and I think this album is going to give us an answer to it. Like, would it be enough if I could never give you peace? It reminds me also of Antihero. It reminds me of all of these feelings that I think may be explored as well, that are very much related to fame, how she is perceived in the world, and how that can affect how other people in her personal life may perceive her as well.
Yeah, the kind of larger than life character of like, what I am is larger than me as a human, and I can't control. She can't control being Taylor Swift the pop star and what comes with that. And and I feel like that is potentially, as you said, like explored on Antihero. And I think that it will be something that is potentially referenced on Tortured Poets as well. And I think this is the first time that we really, really saw Taylor being like, look, I just can't ever control this, like, and would the things that I can control and the things I can give you be enough to stay in the relationship? And as you said, this whole song is basically a question, and I think, like you said, potentially we might find the answer, and I don't think it'll be a good one.
I'm even thinking that an interesting parallel between what you just said, like this larger than life, which is very much presented in Antihero as Taylor the giant taking up so much room and so much, kind of like the elephant in the room is herself. It's an interesting parallel and like juxtaposition to The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. Could that somehow be connected? That's an interesting one, I think. So
potentially, yes. Potentially that kind of difference. Taylor felt she was this kind of elephant in the room in comparison to like the person she was in a relationship with being this mouse, and she is just like terrifying to them. You know, it's just too big for them, and they can't cope with that.
Perhaps,
so yeah, that is interesting.
Perhaps.
That is a really interesting parallel.
Next up, we have the big one, and this is the third one that we both had on our list, because I think these songs are very much, again, they're big questions that we both think are the opening to the rest of this album, from how it has been framed, the sadness that is presented in the lyrics that we've got from now, which is You're Losing Me. We've spoken a lot about You're Losing Me recently.
Yes.
It just makes sense. It is like the prequel of the album for me. If there was an intro to the album, this would be it, in my opinion.
Yes. This is like the essential pre-listen to Tortured Poets. Like, this is the one that you have to kind of listen to. But it is that kind of heartbrokenness of like, you're losing me, like, what are you doing, like, you know, what, hold on. Then we find out that obviously she did lose him, and but you know, the thing of like, so long London and things like that, there might be other things that she mentions that she's lost as a result of that relationship dying, and that kind of anxiety and fear of it. So I think that this is not only potentially sonically, but it's also thematically and naturally,
it also presents a lot of different themes that will be explored once again, and also perhaps a lot of the metaphors that we might see, which is interesting, because in You're Losing Me we do have like imagery of...
like the phoenix and stuff.
Weddings, for example.
Yes, wedding, yes.
Mentions to... yeah, the themes, I think. Yeah, mentions to weddings, mentions to sickness, mentions to, like, yes, fighting and being in an army, which, yeah, I think those are the ones that... those are the... perhaps these images that we might see repeated in a few other songs on this album.
Yeah, no, I think that's interesting, and I think you're correct there, that that is something that could be explored, and that might potentially link to some of those, like, deluxe tracks with, like, the albatross, the black dog, things like that, those kind of metaphors of, like, what those animals symbolize, with, like, the phoenix, you know, like, she described herself as, like, a phoenix constantly having to rise from the ashes, which then links back to, like, look what you made me do, almost, you know, it's like, how many more times, how many more awful things have to happen to me, and I have to keep being like, okay, cool, just keep going, and it's almost, I think that will potentially lyric to link to the song, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Right, yeah, the phoenix thing is very much,
I
get that, like, I can see that with the broken heart, like, I'm keeping going, basically, I'm still doing everything,
yeah,
even though I'm absolutely destroyed, I'm rising from the ashes once again. While we're on the topic of these different themes or how she may present some aspects lyrically, I think The Great War is a good one to mention here, which we also have on our list.
Yes.
Because it is literally an exploration of everything, but from a much more positive light than You're Losing Me, obviously. It's like a very different spin to it. But again, it uses this very, very, very long metaphor of describing the relationship, basically, or a fight in the relationship as, like, this proper, like, battle, like a war.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a soldier, you're a soldier, we're fighting, we take the battle underground, wave the white flag. So I don't know if we might see any of that imagery come up again.
Potentially.
It's interesting because just from the list of songs that we have from the Tortured Poets Department, which are very long names, to be honest with you,
yes,
but at the same time, they're not giving too much, they're just given enough to be very, very curious, very interesting, but they're not revealing anything, I don't know. So for example, Fresh Out the Salama is a very interesting one to me because it links back to Reputation songs, and a lot of theming in Reputation is basically around, he can be my jailer, you know, we can be a pair of robbers and rob the bank and go for a heist.
Getaway
and that
car
comes up again in Cowboy Like Me. We're both crooks, you know, we're going to get away with it. And now, again, that seems to be cropping up. So another interesting link.
And I think that could also link to what Taylor kind of spoke about in her time Person of the Year, where she was basically like, look, like, you know, at that time, she wanted to hide, she wanted to kind of get away. But now she looks back on it and she's never going to get those years back that she hid away from the world. And maybe that's kind of what that's referencing. And, you know, at the time, that's what she wanted. And in Reputation, that's, you know, what she, those things she speaks about positively. Whereas now, potentially, it might be something that she views slightly as a negative, kind of slightly teased in that time Person of the Year interview, where she kind of was like, I'm not ever going to get that back. You know, I've kind of lost that. And she doesn't really want that anymore.
Next up, we have Renegade, which I think is a very, very important piece of the puzzle. To be honest with you, Renegade is an extremely interesting song. I do recommend to go back and listen to it because a lot of people maybe don't have this song as one of their top favorites. It isn't an album song. It is a song from somebody else's music. She is a collaborator on it, but basically it's a very Taylor-centric song. It's very interesting things that she's revealing. And again, when analyzed under a different light, obviously back when it was released, I don't know, you don't think too much of some things in it, but when you analyze it under a different light with a different perspective and a lot of these songs or names of these songs in mind, it is interesting to see. It is kind of like a warning sign, honestly.
I think also because it was kind of like umbrellaed under like Aaron and Bon Iver's project, that like you didn't really think of it as like a autobiographical Taylor Swift song as such, whereas if it had maybe been on Evermore or Folklore, people might have potentially been like, oh, what is this referencing? You know, because obviously Taylor doesn't actually write about her life like most musicians do. Whereas I feel like because it was maybe under Aaron and Bon Iver, it was kind of like, oh,
under the radar a bit more, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It's naturally under the radar in comparison to her kind of album tracks, but also maybe not, maybe analysed in the same way that a Taylor Swift song that is solely her would be. And I think, yeah, looking back on it, it's like, oh, maybe that was potentially revealing something.
If I had to specifically pinpoint one song that could be related to Renegade, it's My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, because it's very much, you fire off missiles, you're demolishing me. Perhaps like those kind of lyrics remind me maybe of that, but again, these are only titles, we don't know, we could be chanting some shit right now, but
Yeah.
Perhaps, I think. Next up, we have a couple from Evermore, and I think this couple of songs, this pair of songs, is very interesting pick, and you picked it out, so all kudos to you. Like, usually it's me, the obsessed with Evermore person, but today it was you, so thank you for this.
Yes.
But I think it really shows, I really hope that this album does give us, which is something that I mentioned before, like the hurting, the pain of it all, but also the healing, which is a very important aspect to a lot of songs. A little bit like Eternal Sunshine, the recent album by Ariana.
Yes.
We've got a lot, you know, a mix of things there.
There's a lot of hurt, but also from a perspective that's like very much dealt with it, done with it, content and moved on.
So I think these two songs explore like the two very different reactions you can have to something. So Tolerate It is the next one on our list, and I think Tolerate It is such a devastating song, and I hate to think of these songs connecting to it in a way, because it's just excruciating to think about having to go through such a horrible experience like that. But I also think that Tolerate It is a song that is really, really cathartic for a lot of people to be able to sing it on tour, to be able to listen to it and like scream the lyrics as well, especially that bridge, obviously. So if there are any songs like Tolerate It on the album, I do hope it is one of those kind of moments of catharsis where you can just be like, no, I have broken free, I have left us in ruins, and I'm happier for it, or I'm distraught over it, but perhaps there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
It's for the better in the end. Yeah, no, definitely. And I think that the emotion that's like poured into Tolerate It is definitely something we'll see on Torture Poets. And and obviously it's, you know, you don't want to have to hear really horridly sad songs from Taylor. Like, obviously you want to hear her being happy, but this Tolerate It is like one of her best in terms of like lyrics and songwriting. And I really hope that we get that, also that kind of strength in lyricism as well. And I definitely think we will. I think Tolerate It is a standout in terms of her lyricism across her discography. So fingers crossed we'll get something similar in vein to Tolerate It. And yeah, something with that emotion. And like you said, something as cathartic and almost like champagne problems-y, you know, like Taylor loves singing that song. And so do fans love hearing it and screaming the bridge. So hopefully, yeah, we get something in that kind of way as Tolerate It champagne problems, because those songs are like absolute knockout. So anything like that would be pretty good.
And next from Evermore, again, I will never be tired of talking of this song. It's Happiness. I think this one is a much kinder view of the ending of a relationship. In this case, that's what Happiness presents, right? It kind of goes through all the stages of grieving a relationship, feeling angry about people starting up again with other people, and looking back and saying, you know, oh, sorry, didn't mean that really. And then finally reaching that moment of just letting it go and being like, I can move on from this now. I've healed from this now, and it's okay. It's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay.
Do you feel like the songs are more like in the moment, like dealing with the emotions in the moment, rather than like later on looking back and being like, okay, that's how I felt, but actually this is the end result, you know? I feel like, because I think even with Midnight, Taylor said that she had to kind of hand albums in earlier now to get like the vinyl press and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, maybe the ones that are more happiness in terms of outlook might not have, you know, might have been a little too late potentially, but we don't know how Taylor was kind of feeling when she was writing them. But maybe you're right.
Think...
maybe we'll get more of a Tolerated view than a Happiness.
Yeah, I think that's interesting how you've picked that up, like that we are literally going to be in the moment with her, because we basically know that many of these songs were recorded during the Eras Tour, during the first half of the Eras Tour last year. And because obviously we could see Taylor going in and out of
various studios,
recording studios. Yeah. She basically told us, you know, this is what I was doing. As soon as I gave in Midnights, I did begin to kind of like the beginnings of this album were made until and basically throughout most of the American leg of the Eras Tour. So it's interesting because we're very much going to see her processing everything that she wants to lay out for us and lyricize very much in real time. So it's going to definitely... I really do think this is going to be masterful in the sense of really picking apart very terrible moments, but giving them different spins. Because I do think there is going to be the sense of... I don't know if it's towards the other person or towards like the relationship as a whole, the idea of happiness and the ending of happiness, but perhaps towards herself, like with the quotes that she has given recently, again, in time and stuff, you know, she said she's very much betting on herself now, which I think is going to be explored in this album. I really do. I think it's a theme that we're going to see of her kind of like saying, no, you're on your own, kid, but you've got this, you know? So I think that's something that perhaps we're going to see a bit more of. Next up, we have another couple of absolutely devastating songs, I think. But
yes, if these are referenced, these are going to be heavy hitters, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And again, I think they go with the first few songs that we've mentioned in the sense that it kind of catches you up on a story, but it also gives lyrical parallels possibilities. So Cornelia Street and Invisible String. And I think it is important to kind of like see the cutesy, lovey-dovey stories as well as we go into it all.
And even with Cornelia Street, there is, as we mentioned with Delicate, there's still that anxiety of like, oh my God, I hope, you know, I never lose you. I hope this never ends. Like, and if it does, like, she also then explains like how she would be physically unable to visit somewhere that, you know, she had previously visited with, you know, the person she's in the relationship with. And I think that is like, and it's like, will she potentially mention that? You know, is that something that she might say? Like, you know, or she might even be like, actually, you know what, I can now because I've rewritten like my relationship with that place, or you know, that time in my life.
And I think
so, yeah, there might potentially be a positive spin.
I love that idea, and I have so much to say about that because you've just like illuminated so many light bulbs in my head. Firstly, extremely interesting reference to a place, an important place for her, Cornelia Street, and again we have a reference to a very important place in this album, So Long London. And secondly, what you just said about her kind of rewriting memories or rewriting moments to be able to like go on is very much what she kind of like discusses at the beginning of the Eras tour. Like, these songs may have once been about my life, but now when you think about them in the future, or even when she thinks about them in the future, she can kind of
she's gonna think about this night.
Exactly. Yeah. She can like recategorize them into different moments and make new memories. And that's, again, I think that is part of like the healing that we might be able to see in this album, which I'm very excited for.
Definitely.
And then as for Invisible String, another one of my absolute favorite Taylor Swift songs. Oh God, I love the sound of it as well. Don't know if we'll get much of that. Don't know, but again, I think it's important to listen to just in case we get a very, very devastating lyric of, you know, fate wasn't what we thought it
snapping,
was.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like that string being cut, you know what I mean?
That it came to an end. Yeah, the string ended. It, you know, it wasn't a kind of infinite string, or it was either cut or, broke, you know. I think that'll be an interesting metaphor that Taylor might potentially explore. She might not. She's very good at re-referencing stuff that she's mentioned before, you know, even with Midnights, the amount of stuff that's re-referenced there like Red or Out of the Woods, you know.
I mean, that's really why we are compiling this playlist in a way. Like, it's kind of like a prediction of what we think may be referenced in a way, because she is so good at lyrically tying her songs together, which is like meta discourse of her talking to herself in her own lyrics, which I absolutely love, is something that she does so well. The only one, I've just realized, this is literally the only one that we have from her first few albums, is Holy Ground. I think we may have been influenced by that performance she did of it in Tokyo.
I was gonna say that.
Yeah, but I love it. I do think, again, this one would be more of a happiness kind of view of things, the exploration of a whole relationship or a whole moment in life that you were very much marked by, and sitting down and looking back at it and reassessing it and thinking, well, the story's got dust on every page, however, let's explore that.
Yeah, I think that's true. And yeah, obviously then the thematic of like poet, and then like the story, and I think also potentially, I know obviously this is slightly outside, but you know, it could kind of maybe coincide with like The Story of Us, which also references, is the physical song itself is like a book, you know, next chapter, the end. So there might potentially be a play on with that, you know, with like Story's Got Dust on Every Page, or like, you know, The Story's Over or something like that. So that might be something that might be referenced potentially. But yeah, I think thematically with like looking back on a relationship, that will definitely be something that's explored. But I'm not sure about sonically as well. I feel like maybe Holy Ground might potentially be like the way that she's going. I'm kind of seeing like
so hard,
kind of slightly red production y folklory vibe.
Are you feeling,
I know that obviously someone's
eclectic
said that, and that was I feel like more
a bit more of a mix of things?
Yeah, more of an eclectic sound. I think naturally because of the feelings that she'll be feeling will be so,
yeah.
would be quite vast. You know, like naturally with like the end of a relationship or a breakup, you're kind of slightly all over the show, and hence Red, the album, is this just mosaic of just every kind of emotion, every kind of sound. And I'm not sure if maybe that might be something, or she might be the total opposite, and it might be a very distinct, you know, folklore kind of sound that's, you know, two way certain, you know, this is the sound and that's kind of where it's anchored.
An interesting one. I definitely think that a song to be mentioned here, perhaps it could go hand in hand with this exploration of poetry and things, is The Tortured Poets Department. I really have high hopes for that song.
Yes.
Because I don't think it's going to be so much of, I hope anyway, but I'll be happy either way, you know me. But it would be really, really fun if she kind of does do like an analysis as of herself as a poet. And I think from the lyrics that we have got, like, you know, my muses acquired like bruises, things like that. I love that. I love that imagery. And it would be interesting to see her kind of like pick apart her own songwriting and how it can be interpreted. I don't know. Maybe I'm going way too into it just from like
Yes. I like that. Yes, perhaps, that would be very interesting.
Yeah, maybe her talking about how it acts as a defense mechanism, how it acts as a way for her to project certain things. I don't know. Maybe. But if she's ever going to do it, I think in a song like that, it could come out, perhaps. And that leads us, actually, that's a great segue into The Lakes, because it is very, very thematically...
Talk about poets. Exactly. This couldn't be more,
Yeah, again, it intertwines her romantic feelings, her feelings of wanting to run away from everything, wanting to escape the world, escapism, perhaps for different reasons, because of when this it's from folklore, right? And that came out during the pandemic, so it's very different reasoning to want to get away from everything. But also she did kind of express in this song that, you know, it is an escapism of everything, of technology, of people, you know, thrusting their opinions upon you and just like running away, like, and being a poet at the lakes. So
and just living a very simplistic life, and, you know, just dying that way, dying in a natural kind of way, you know, with plants and ivy and
growing over you,
water, you know. So maybe that might be something that's explored. I think similarly with, you know, when folklore and stuff was teased and everyone was kind of grasping onto what potentially the sound and stuff might be, and everyone clung to like safe and sound,
right? Yeah,
I feel like Tortured Poets Department, the ones that people are kind of being like, oh, this is maybe what might be an insight of what we're getting, is like You're Losing Me and The lakes because of obviously just the references to poets and stuff, and obviously You're Losing Me as being the most recent of what we know in terms of the relationship that's going to be most likely discussed. So I think that these two are kind of the ones that people are kind of clinging to at the moment, of like, oh, is this maybe potentially what we're going to get, like a little bit of a teaser of what we might be hearing.
I don't know, it's such a vast difference though. Like The Lakes is very like old-timely produced.
Yes,
and
exactly.
You're Losing Me has that production with the heartbeat and the strings.
Not sure.
I really can't tell, honestly. I've stopped trying to guess with Taylor anymore, because sometimes the aesthetics are so different to what you hear. Like Midnight's, obviously, from the full picture that we've gotten now, like everything that you see of the visuals of tour and the visuals from the MVs and the visuals of the album come together to form like this. I mean, it's a collection of Midnights, right? So it presents many different facets of one same person. However, if you just look at the albums,
Photo shoots, it's like this tortured, like,
exactly,
you know,
it's very much
middle of the night, like, you know, like rolling around at night, can't sleep vibe,
which corresponds, you know, to a few of the songs, but a lot of them are quite you know,
like Bejeweled and stuff, that is not that kind of vibe, whereas then the outfits that she's worn and stuff then add to those, that kind of sound,
definitely.
So,
Bejeweled, definitely.
And with like previous releases, like at this point we would have had a lead single,
right?
So we potentially have had at least some sort of insight into the sound, even if it isn't potentially what the rest of the album's going to sound like. Like, for example, We're Never Ever Getting Back Together. The rest of Red doesn't really sound like that, but it's still an insight to a part of Red, like 22 or I Knew Your Trouble.
And even thematically, again, exploring kind of terrible back and forth in a relationship and back and forth in your life,
definitely.
The insecurity.
And then whereas, you know, we're going in so blind that it's like we could be being like, yeah, so it's going to sound like,
yeah,
you know, the lakes or
everything we're saying is so much conjecture. Yeah,
we go in and it sounds like me, you know what I mean? Like, we have no idea what we're kind of going up against.
Again, this is something that we're just doing based off of what Taylor has told us, based off of the track list.
What she's kind of shared visually and track list wise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And kind of trying to tie these songs together to previous songs some way, somehow. We could be so off base that it's incredible. But I guess the important thing will be finally being able to listen to this music. And again, as we always do, like exploring it very much lyrically and for the art that it is, rather than for what it tells us about, you know, anything that may have happened to her personally. We very much respect her as an artist, first and foremost. And I think that's an important thing to say as we do explore this list as well.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, this is more out of what we want to hear sonically and what we want to hear lyrically. And hopefully some parallels rather than like gossip. Like,
exactly.
We can, quite frankly, care less.
Yeah.
We're more worried about like what it sounds like and just how interesting it is that Taylor references previous work and, you know, and how we discuss like the family tree and how our previous work links and the connections you can make. And we're trying to hopefully do that with this list and what connections might we be able to make to previous songs or references. And like you said, this kind of creates this whole kind of like sonic universe and how
how these
songs then link to the current sonic universe. That's what we're kind of trying to explore.
And then of course the final step in that is when you take these songs on as your own and relate them to your own experiences and your own,
yes,
you know, that's why I do hope there is like a mix of different things that a lot of people can sing and scream cathartically, like we mentioned, or other ones that you can just like quietly sit and reflect on, and other ones that you can just bop to, which I know it from the names and from how it's presented to us, it's hard to think we're gonna get a Bejeweled or we're gonna get something
exactly
where you can really be like, oh
vigilante,
my god, yeah,
shit.
Exactly. But yeah. I think she's her bait and switches are extremely, you know, they're whiplashy. I mean, calling a song happiness then it being this very, very like depressing, slow depiction of a failed relationship coming to an end and what that brings about. So I don't know. We can never know what to expect with her, but it will be interesting. I mean, look at 1989, even though it's quite a heavy album, especially that Vault track, it gives you so much like insight into anxieties and worries and darkness and feeling unwanted, but then feeling hopeful and, you know, really, really
young
waiting
and free. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then those names and that song production and the way the lyrics are written is just also, yeah, it's just such a like clash of different things coming together that you can never tell with Taylor, to be honest with you. Next up, we have our 12th song, which is London Boy, which I think has to be here because of So Long London. Just the whiplash of it all, like we mentioned before, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that obviously, I think that this one is an essential one to listen to purely because we get to see what Taylor's previous relationship was with London and potentially her relationship now that she's going to explore and having to say goodbye to this relationship with London that she explores in London Boy, which is very positive and fun and, you know, trekking around London and exploring all the different very English elements of the city. And now she clearly has to say goodbye to that.
So
I think obviously it's going to reference this song naturally, just the title already does, without even really referencing anything that's said. But I think that this song is an essential because it will play a part in that song. Like, it has to, you know?
Right, yeah. Just, again, is very much, I do think So Long London could be a bit of a mashup of like the feelings of Cornelia Street never being able to visit somewhere because of how haunted you feel by it, and letting go of those old haunts and these incredible memories you may have made in a song like London Boy, right? All of these different places that you may have explored, and then for one reason or another having to say goodbye to them and being like, nope, I'm packing up. Also, it is a track 5, so be ready.
Yes.
Be ready.
Yes, this one is going to be the hefty one, definitely.
I'm a little bit scared.
We're in for a lot. I know. I haven't. I totally. Obviously, I knew it was track 5, but I had I'd forgotten that. So being reminded, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be death by fire. You know, like, yeah. It's going to be intense.
And then finally, last but not least, track 13, or the 13th song on our playlist. Again, we have kind of put them in a bit of a random order here because we just kind of like went through the ones that we thought would be best. My list, your list, combined them all together. And we came up with the last one, which is Hits Different. Hits Different for me, I really do think that songs like Hits Different, Renegade, and You're Losing Me, and even Dear Reader, after this album, we're going to go back. You know when certain songs, with the re-recordings especially, you listen to the vaults and then you go back into the album and you're like, oh my God, the piece of the puzzle just fits now. Or, yes. Oh my God, this lyric reference is so blatant to this. Blue dress on a boat. Exactly. And it's like, oh my God, how did I miss this?
Or even like on Red, like, I bet you think about me and we're never ever getting back together.
Mm.
Like, it's like, oh my God, like the, you know, indie record and things like that.
It shifts your view of certain things, like Castles Crumbling and Long Live. It shifts, like, this is how Taylor portrayed something, but here is the other side of the coin that perhaps she didn't want to reveal at that point. I know we're talking about vault tracks, but it's a little bit different. However, I do feel Hits Different. We are going to get the same sentiments of this song interpreted in a very different way in another song. I really do think so.
Yes.
Also, we can't ignore the, you know, the artifacts. That's already been mentioned, the evidence, how that's already been made reference to. So interesting, I think, on that end as well.
Yes, definitely. And potentially maybe this song, you could kind of link slightly to Holy Ground the way that it kind of, in like it's sonic, I don't know, in a way, like it's kind of quite upbeat.
That's true.
Weirdly positive, even though like get Aaron on some pop tracks. I want to hear more on Aaron on pop tracks.
Somebody call up Aaron and tell him he can do pop. Aaron Pop Girl era, please.
Yes, we are praying. But yeah, that kind of like pop fun sound, even though it weirdly is slightly quite heavy, and even though Holy Ground is quite fun, it is also still quite heavy. It's still looking back on a past relationship, despite it being like, oh no, that was fun. And I feel like Hits Different is kind of the same. It's like, it is quite heavy, but also if you just weren't really listening to the lyrics, you'd like, oh, this is a bit of a bop.
Something that happens with a lot of Taylor's music is she is just so haunted by memories and the persistence of them, and how I the other day I thought, you know, we are Swifties. Of course, we never let go of anything that has ever happened to us in all of our life.
Yeah.
Because that is our music, really, isn't it? And it's not a bad thing. I think that's perfectly valid.
No.
Go back.
I think that's why people do relate to her is because, you know, she makes your experiences feel valid and feel validated. Mm. And like the writer of the writer of, it was such a good article, but the writer of the Time 100 piece, not Time 100, sorry, Time Person of the Year piece, he did say that, you know, that he realized why people love her so much is because she makes your feelings feel valid. And if someone did make you feel rubbish, then you are valid to feel that way, you know, and like, you don't have to be like, hide your emotion, and it's acceptable and valid to be like, you know what? You treated me like a piece of shit and I feel bad about it, and I'm going to feel bad about it for a little time. And Taylor kind of does make you feel valid. Yeah. I just keep saying the same bloody word, but you know,
understood. Over those emotions. Yeah, definitely.
And I think that, that is definitely true.
So I think because we've spoken about it quite a lot, I think that if this is our essential listening, which I think, again, we've included a good list of different kind of sound in songs, happier ones, sadder ones, things that we think may be mentioned thematically, symbolically, whatever. But perhaps we could recommend listening to them as you read, once again, that timepiece, that last interview that she gave for, you know, being Person of the Year last year. Because I do think it's the most up-to-date information that we know of her. And seen through a different lens and with this album being released, I think there's a lot that she may have mentioned that maybe has flown a little bit under the radar, that when we reread, we'll be like, that makes sense now.
A bit like the, what's it, NYC speech, where she just
she
said like
said
loads
lyrics.
Of Midnight's lyrics.
Definitely.
And obviously at the time you're just like, okay, what is that reference? And then later makes so much sense.
Mm. Before we conclude, perhaps it would be interesting here to just mention a couple of things. Because obviously as we near the album release, we will get more information about the album. That information sometimes can be real, sometimes it's not. By the time that this episode gets out, perhaps we will have got more information. We do try and update you guys through the community tab on YouTube, so make sure to subscribe to us over there if you want to keep up to date. But if not, we try and mention everything in these episodes. One thing that we've recently found out is that even though the album wasn't being sold with a clean variant, we do know that there are explicit tracks on this album. They're going to be swear words, basically. And another thing that we can also mention, but this one is very much unreal. It looks like someone just kind of edited the Wikipedia page, took a screenshot of it, and then posted it around, is the track lengths. With So Long London being like almost 10 minutes long.
Nearly 10 minutes, yeah.
At this point, we can't confirm that at all. It could be a random person who does know and then it all turns out to be true, but I don't think it's very realistic.
No, I think it's similar to Carolina, I believe, where that was supposed to be like about minutes. 4 hours long.
Yeah,
yeah. Definitely. And then it turned out to not. It turned out to be about a normal length song. So, yeah, definitely take that with a pinch of salt. I think also there was something the other day, I believe, put on Spotify with the pseudonym that Taylor used for This Is What You Came For, and there was some atrocious, dodgy AI song called Tortured Poets, I think.
Oh, okay.
That was put up there. So there's lots that fly around, like, pre-release, especially when we haven't got anything.
The release. Yeah, that's true. People get bored and restless.
People get bored and start making stuff up. But that is interesting. Also, quickly, just before we kind of finish off, I'll quickly mention some of the songs that we also included in our separate lists before we compiled them, because they might add some extra pieces to the puzzle of where we were kind of looking and what our perspectives were. So some of the songs that I was thinking about was potentially King of My Heart, Call It What You Want, Afterglow, Lover, and then referencing maybe something previous to, like, Reputation. I also thought about maybe You All Over Me, in terms of that kind of narrative and outlook might be something that's
maybe
explored.
Even sound.
And maybe even Sonic, yeah, definitely. And then some of the songs that Lisa put forward was Dear Reader, This Love, Sad, Beautiful, Tragic, and Tim McGraw. Okay, we've now come to the end of this episode. We hope that you enjoyed hearing all of our thoughts pre-Tortured Poets department. If you did enjoy, then please give this video a like over on YouTube and make sure to subscribe to us. Also, make sure to leave us a comment with the 13 songs that you think should be essential listening before the Tortured Poets department. If you're listening over on Apple or Spotify, then make sure to rate us if you have enjoyed. And if you'd like to keep up with when episodes are coming out today and any kind of episode extras, then please follow us over on Instagram. Our handle is @SwiftlySpokenPodcast. And until next time, we'll see you then.